ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्यम् नारायणं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो चयम् उदीरयेत् नस्तापरेषु अपात्रेषु नित्यं भगवते सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णे स्वात्मपागते तार्मज्ञानिभिः सह कालो नास्तति सम्मेषा पूर्णार्कुतु नोदितः क्रान्तरात् श्रीमद्भागवतां कीचाय दैवीरीत्वं श्रीमद्भागवतां सेवन् केन्टो सेकेण्ड् चाप्टर् टेक्स्ट् सेवन् अण्ड् एय्ट् We recite the first verse, huh? Tasya. Tasya tyakta svabhavasya kriner maya aukasaha pachantam pachamanasya palasevastiratmanaha Tasya tyakta svabhavasya Tasya tyakta svabhavasya Krinir maya vanaukasaha Krinir maya vanaukasaha Pachatam pachamanasya Pachantam pachamanasya Palasye vastiratmanaha Palasye vastiratmanaha Tasya tyakta svabhavasya Krinir maya vanaukasaha Pachatam pachamanasya Palasye vastiratmanaha Machchula pina krivasya Purina rudirena vai Asrik priyam tapaishe Prataram ekatavyataha Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Kichaya. Tasya of Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pyakta svabhavasya, who has given up his natural position of being equal to everyone. Grine. Most abominable. Maya, under the influence of the illusory energy. Vana okasa, behaving exactly like an animal in the jungle. Pachantam, under the devotee, engaged in devotional service. Pachamanasya, being worshipped, palasya, a child, iva, like, astira, atmana, who is always restless and changing, mat, mai, shula, by the trident, pinna, separated, krivasya, whose neck, Purina, profuse, Rudirena, by blood, Why? Indeed, Asrik Priam, who is fond of blood, Tarpa Ishe, I shall please, Prataram, my brother, me, my, Gata, Yata, becoming peaceful myself. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. These words spoken by Hiranyakashipu to his followers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up his natural tendency of equality towards the demons and demigods. Although he is the Supreme Person, now influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leans towards someone. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who was so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I too be peaceful. Purport. The defect of the demoniac mentality is expressed in this verse very clearly. Hiranyakashipu thought that Vishnu also becomes partial, like a child whose mind is not steady or resolute. The Lord can change his mind at any time, Hiranyakashipu thought, and therefore his words and activities are like those of children. And therefore his words and activities are like those of children. Actually, because the demons are ordinary human beings, their minds change, and being materially conditioned, they think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is conditioned also. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11, Avachananti mam mudha anusin Tanum ashritam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Demons always think that Vishnu can be killed. Therefore, being absorbed in thoughts of Vishnu's form to kill him, at least they have the opportunity to think of Vishnu unfavorably. Although they are not devotees, their thinking of Vishnu is effective. And thus, they generally attain Sayuchya Mukti. Because the demons consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary living being, they think that they can kill Lord Vishnu as one might kill an ordinary person. Another fact disclosed herein is that demons are very much fond of sucking blood. Indeed, all of them are meat eaters and bloodsuckers. Hiranyakashipu accused the Supreme Lord of having a restless mind like that of a small child, who can be induced to do anything if simply offered some cakes and laddus. Indirectly, this indicates the true position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. Tat Aham Bhakti Ubhari Tam Asnami Prayadatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. The Lord accepts the offerings of devotees because of their transcendental love. Because they are in love with the Supreme Lord, they do not eat anything without offering it first to the Lord. The Lord does not hanker for a small leaf or flower. He has enough to eat. Indeed, he is feeling he is feeding all living entities. Nonetheless, because he is very merciful and is Bhakta Vatsala, very favorable to the devotees, he certainly eats whatever they offer him with love and devotion. These qualities should not be misjudged to be childish. The highest quality of the Supreme Lord is that he is Bhakta Vatsala. In other words, He is always extremely pleased with his devotees. As for the word Maya, when used in reference to the dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, this word means affection. The actions of the Lord to favor his devotees are not disqualifications, but signs of his natural affection. As for Rudhira, or the blood of Lord Vishnu, since there is no possibility of severing Lord Vishnu's head from his body, there is no question of blood, but the garland that decorates Vishnu's body is as red as blood, and the demons achieve Sayuja Mukti and leave behind their sinful activities, they are blessed by Vishnu's garland, which is red like blood. After attaining Sayuja Mukti, the demons are sometimes promoted to the Vaikuntha world, where they receive the reward of the Lord's garland, prasad, garland prasad. Tasya takta svabhavasya krinir maya vanaukasaha pachantam bachamanasya palasye vastiratmanaha machchula pinagrivasya purina rudhirena vai asrik priyam tapayishye pratarame gatavyataha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, giving up his natural tendency of equality towards the demons and demigods. Although he is a Supreme Person, now influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leans towards someone. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who was so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I too be peaceful.
Omagyatimaranyasyaganjana salakyam chakshurunmilitam yena tasma shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhisnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Katamayam Tadati Svapatantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langai Digrim Yat Kriptatam Mahambande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Chai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So Lord Vishnu, he appeared as Varahadev in this specific form, one of the Dasa avatars, further uplifting the earth from the lower regions and also killing Hiranyaksha. So therefore the Lord especially appeared to protect the earth, earth planet. The earth planet and Boar, Lord Boar, Varaha, is very much connected or related with each other. Boars are very sympathetic to earth. They always like to pull up earth from the ground. That's their pastime. Therefore the Lord, out of sympathy and mercy, kindness to Tarani, Tara, that means the Mother Earth, who fell out of balance and fell in the ocean underneath the universe. So to find out, who can find out if piece of earth or a stone drops in the ocean. How to find it out? So a boar, because a boar has very good nose, So he can find out, he couldn't know where the earth was. So the Lord appeared as the boar and uplifted the earth, and put her back to her original orbit again. Simultaneously, there was also an opportunity, an attack of Hiranyaksha. Although Acharya say Lord Bor appeared in different ages, in two forms, because all avatars may appear not only one time, but they can appear in different yugas, in different manvantars, to perform a certain mission. The mission is always the same, to protect the devotees, that's the first cause, to kill the demons and to establish the religious principles again. That's the main mission that Krishna also describes in the Bhagavad Gita. That's the cause why the avatar, the Lord is coming down, avara. Avara means coming down. He's not fallen like the jiva, like the living entity. The living entity drops down from the spiritual realm and comes in contact with the material universe. There are two kinds of jivas, also two kinds of jivas who are embodied in either as deva or as demigod. Tabuta sargalokesmin sura sura evacha Vishnu bhaktas mito daiva asuram tatvi pareya. So that's stated in Bhagavad Gita and also in, I think, Padma Purana, that the Lord says that there are two kinds of living entities who take different conditions according to the modes of material nature. One is the Sura, that means the demigod, who is godly by nature, and the other one is Asura, who is a demoniac in nature. Asura, another name of Asura, another is that he is against the Suras, the demigods. So therefore they're called Asuras, they're like anti-gods. They're in the duality, because material world is in duality, light and dark, good and bad. So the material universe has godly beings and demoniac beings. And there is the Lord himself, he has no contact with the material nature. He stays always in transcendental position. But foolish people who have demoniac mentality, they consider when the Lord appears to the material world, he has to accept the material body like we do. That he, either as a human being or even as an animal, as a forest boar, as a wild beast, or as a fish, or then he comes as a dwarf, or he comes as half man, half lion, or he comes as a ferocious warrior, Parashuram, or he comes as a king, Ram, as a human being, or he comes as Balaram, or he comes as Krishna, or he comes as Buddha, or he comes as Kalki. So that's a whole list of giving 22 avatars in the first canto, Leela avatars. So the Lord has no interest to come to the material universe for his own interest, for his own purpose, because he's happily situated in Vaikuntha, because in Vaikuntha everything is in proper order. There's no disruption of adharma. There are no demons there. There are only devotees, parishads, the Lord's eternal associates, who are always abiding in harmony with him. Therefore that's Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga means in relation or acting for the pleasure of the Lord. So the godly beings, they have interest, they have an inclination to naturally serve the Lord, to please the Lord's senses. demonic persons, they're against. They never like what the godly beings are doing. They have to be always in opposition. Viparaya. They are always in opposition. They cannot be in harmony with the demigods. Only one time the demigods and demons were in harmony, because both had the same interest to get the Amrit from the milk ocean, right? So they were churning, both of them united. Although the demons, they didn't like the demigods, and the demigods, they knew the demoniac mentality is not beneficial for the universe, because when they will take Amrit, they will just have prolonged life and will terrorize the universe more and other living beings and the Brahminical culture. But somehow or other, they had to make this truth, this this pack with the demons. By the arrangement or advice of Lord Vishnu, he told, "You are too weak now. You cannot churn this ocean on your own. Take the help of the demons, the asuras." And therefore, that was the time when they were working together. But ultimately, the asuras, because they were always very greedy and self-interested, and the demigods, they were looking in the interest of Lord Vishnu, that the Lord is satisfied. So the Lord told, whatever the demons tell you or want from you, give them. Don't interfere. Don't be greedy. Everything will be supplied. You will get the benefit. Ultimately, you will be the winners. The demons will be the losers because of their greed. Demoniac mentality means greediness. And because of this greediness, this material world is so much overloaded by so much people who want to overpower the universe, plunder the universe and the earth planet for their own sense gratification, to become more and more rich, to become more and more powerful. Because richness means powerful. Especially in Kali Yuga. Previous ages, richness didn't mean power necessarily. You have to show your power, your prowess on your own. Therefore, there were real kshatriyas. But in Kali Yuga, there are no real kshatriya anymore. Everyone is shudra and some little vaishyas who still dominate the world now. And gradually, Prabhupada told, the vaishyas also will become more and more corrupted and cheaters, and therefore everyone will become more and more shudra type, and fall down to even Vlecha and Yavana culture. That means untouchable culture, non-Vedic, non-Aryan. Aryan means those who know the truth, those who abide with the law of the Lord, who engage in devotional service, who worship the Lord. Demons also have interest in worship, but only for their own interest. This way they also get some powers. So there were very many of the demons, especially these Vedic demons, previous demons, had a lot of knowledge also about the Vedas. So they even knew about the existence of Supersoul. And they always heard, Supersoul is neutral, it's not taking side with everyone, is equal to everyone because he is not a material product. He is situated in everyone's heart, but he is never touched by the action and reaction of the living entity. He's just like a witness there, like a bird observing the enjoying bird on the peepal tree, enjoying the sweet and sour and bitter fruits of the tree. But the Lord Himself is just there, waiting that one turns towards Him. So there's two ways we can turn towards Him, either in a favorable way or in an unfavorable way. Previously, in first chapter of the seventh canto, we heard that Narad Muni told, doesn't matter if favorable or unfavorable, or with lust, or with greed, or with anger, or with loving affection, or in any way. The main thing is to concentrate on the Lord, to be absorbed in the Lord, even in a negative way, because the negative person have not an opportunity to immediately take up the positive process of bhakti yoga. So they negatively fix the mind on Krishna or on the Lord, on Lord Vishnu or on his avatar, considering him an enemy. Although the Lord is nobody's enemy, he's nobody's friend, we hear. He's not nobody's enemy, nobody's friend, from the sentimental point of view of our material relationships, because he is not a material product. He's not matter, he's pure spirit. Chit Swarup is his Swarup. He's completely cognizant, eternal, and full of bliss. He can never become pierced. Even the soul cannot become pierced, cannot be burned, cannot be cut to pieces. And the Lord also doesn't have natural blood like an embodied corpses of in the material world. We have a body with blood. But the Ishapanishad says the super soul has no blood, although he has veins and like that. But there's not the blood as we know the blood. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains blood also in Sanskrit. This roshisha mentioned in the second part of the verse also can mean kumkum. Kumkum. So to offer this instead of blood, we can offer kumkum to the forefathers or to the departed soul. So, but Hiranyakashipu, he was so in wrath, he was so angry that Lord Vishnu took side of the demigods, although he should be neutral. So he is partial, he's childish. He's not a grown-up person. He's a very very unclever, because he's taking sides with somebody, and that he should not do as a neutral person, because he promises, and this is written in the scriptures, in the Vedas. So he's promising that, and that now he breaks his promise, you know, that means he fell in Maya. That's the conclusion. He fell in Maya. He must be in illusion now. He himself became an illusion person, because he gave up his platform, his swarup, or his svabhav, his svabhav of neutrality. And he accepted partiality to our enemy. Therefore, I don't like him. He's not sympathetic to me, sympathetic to us, because he is taking side. That means he is bribable. We can bribe him. We can bribe the Lord. In the material world, it's natural we can bribe somebody. Everyone is practically bribable. You go with some money or some sweets, Swiss chocolate or some ladus, and go to somebody. Immediately you become friend. You get everything what you need. Money is the power, or giving some nice gift. The whole world is going on like that. You give a nice gift. If you want to make some nice, business with somebody, you give them gift. So that you can get sympathy, favor. So now, Hiranyakashipu's mentality, or intellect, he thought, oh, Lord Vishnu is the same, like the materialist. Materialists are bribable, they're corrupt. No? But now he becomes corrupted. He is bribable. Oh, what kind of God he must be. And now he even accepted, it looks like that he gave up his Paramatma mood. and Svabhav and Svarup of Paramatma and became a forest animal. Ah. What kind of disgust? How can give up such a transcendental form and become an animal? A boar, a pig in the forest, and this unfairly, this person even pierced with his trunk, with his, how we say? Not with his tusk, with the tusk, yeah, right, with the tusk, you know, he pierced my brother's heart. He killed him. So I have to revenge that. And I think it's not a problem. And I warn you, my dear friends, your demon friends, don't think now this Vishnu is more powerful than me, Hiranyakashipu. After all, I'm Hiranyakashipu. I am the Lord of the universe. And all the three worlds are under my control. So don't take side with this Vishnu. Don't lose your chastity, your surrender unto me, and your faith in me. Keep faithful to me. So I warn you, don't take side with Vishnu and with the Vishnu Bhaktas. And to show them that they should follow him. He busted himself, you know. I will show you how I will kill him with my own power, with my trident, and I will pierce his neck. That was his determination. Like many other demons, later on, he was one of the first ones. Everyone followed in the same pattern. They wanted to kill Lord Vishnu or Krishna. They thought that we are equal to him or even more powerful than him, because he deviated, or he came from his own nature and he came down to our nature, and because he's now in our nature, therefore we are in charge here, and we are showing him who is the master, who is the Lord of this universe. This is the demoniac mentality, either in big term like a Hiranyakashipu psychology, or a small Hiranyakashipu. Like in Kali Yuga, we don't have real Hiranyakashipus like in previous ages. The Hiranyakashipus are very, very tiny, insignificant. Therefore, the Lord doesn't have to appear to kill them. He comes only for special asuras, who are very, very powerful, to fight with them. Because he has a purpose also. They are also his devotees in one sense. Because in the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, it is stated in the spiritual world, the demigods and the demons are in harmony serving Lord Vishnu. That means also in the Vaikuntha planet, somebody plays the role of demon. In Priya Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami also describes that Kaliya is there, Keshi demon is there. Different demons are there with whom Krishna has his pastimes. He uses their mentality, chastises them, pacifies them, trains them to submit themselves to him. And he uses them practically as pet animals for his lila in the Vaikuntha, for his pleasure and his devotees' pleasures, associates' pleasure. So this is going on in Goloka and in the Vaikuntha, but there it's in harmony. Everything is in lila, in harmony for the pleasure of Krishna, for Krishna's pastimes. But sometimes, for Krishna, it's not a problem. He doesn't have to come material world to find out somebody with whom he should fight. He has enough of friends in Goloka who like to fight with him, like Sridhama, like Sudama, and some others also. They're fighting. They always like to challenge Krishna for a fight. And therefore, fighting pastimes, wrestling like that, and sports, it's going on in Goloka, so it will not be boring. You should not think Coloca or the spiritual world is just an empty place. It's just nirvana or a light. There's so much pastime. Everything what we actually have here, wrestling, and boxing, and stick fighting, and football, like that. Cricket, I'm not for sure, but cricket. Also, if you like to make a cricket match with Krishna in Goloka, maybe also Krishna will do it with you. Because Krishna fulfills everyone's desire. So Krishna likes to have exchange with his devotees. Yetamam prabhatyante tamsatai bachamiham. Nobody is equal to him. Nobody is more powerful than him. Asama urdva. There's nobody. But Krishna, out of sympathy, out of his bhakta vatsalya, is taking this mood of equal or even inferior, so that he can have lila with his devotees. That's his great mercy. That's his kindness. If God is only Aishwarya king, everyone is surrendered to him, dependent on him, a little fear. If I do something not right, the Lord is punishing me. His honor, reverence. This is not so much interesting for Krishna, because Krishna is in Madhurya Lila. Madhurya Lila is general Lila for all rasas in Goloka Madhurya. It's sweet. There's nothing bitterness. It's all sweet. Even the separation of Krishna is sweet. It makes it even sweeter. So Madhurya Lila is the Lila where Krishna, out of sympathy, becomes equal or inferior to his devotees, to have a fight with them, to have a gambling match with them, to play football with them. Sometimes he wins, or he's on the winner side, and sometimes he loses. That we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 10th canto. This is described there. But for Lord Narayana, he has no such kind of a competition, because he always remains the Lord there, in the Aishwarya above. Therefore, for Lord Narayana, for Lord Vishnu, he comes down to the material world. Sometimes he has a desire to fight with somebody. Sometimes he has an itching sensation in his back. So therefore, he comes as Kurma Avatar here. Sometimes he likes to fight, but with whom he can fight in the material world? So he has to empower some of his devotees from Vaikuntha, that they come as demon and to fight with him. With others he will not touch. For that he has his external energy, Maya, material power, Durga. She fights, she punishes and kills the demons. Therefore Shiva is always a little an anxiety about his wife, Durga, because she is so much time, she become angry on demons. So he has to come and fall down to her feet and pacify her. Please don't kill, they're also living entities. So don't harm them unnecessarily. Please be shanti shanti, become calm down, be peaceful. Demons in general, they always like to challenge, to fight. And Krishna, accepting their bhava, asura bhava, and is sympathizing with them, revealing himself in such a way, so he fights with them, or he gives them an opportunity that they become absorbed in him, as he would be somebody who can become defeated. Of course, the Lord can never become defeated, because nobody is more powerful than him. Ultimately, Krishna, he takes everything like a child. It's not bad what Hiranyakashipu told, that he's like a child. Yeah. Sometimes Krishna actually in Goloka and also in Vrindavan Leela is acting as a child. In a very whimsical way, in a very childish way, for the pleasure of his devotees. That's Krishna's nature. There's nothing bad if Krishna is acting as a child. Or he comes as a boar or as a fish. That's his pastime. So that he can reciprocate with his devotees. would like to see him as a child, would like to see him as a friend, would like to see him as a lover. Krishna can take all the moods, because he's always Rasika Shekhar, the crown jewel of relishes of rasa. So he can reveal to everyone's mood and satisfy everyone. Even the demon ultimately become purified if he thinks about Krishna. Unfortunately, most of the demons in Kali Yuga, little demons, not so much big, they are not thinking about Krishna so much. They're not concerned about Vishnu. They're completely in ignorance. And therefore for them, the Vaishnavas have to feel compassion. And therefore Lord Chaitanya came and he introduced the Sankirtan movement. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the distributing of Vaishnava literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. And so in this way, even the Vaishnava goes to everyone, following in footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't prefer to live with the Lord, although he had direct association of him, blessings from him. He didn't want to become a yogi in the Himalayas, a siddhi yogi. He didn't want to have any material position. He only wanted to serve the Lord by helping others who forgot the Lord, who are in ignorance, the Maya Sukhaya Param Udvahato Vimudhan. For the Vimudha, he had sympathy for them, to help them, to give them mercy. If the Vaishnava doesn't show mercy to the people in general in this world, you know, who will give mercy? Vaishnavas are Vishnu's men, Krishna's men. Therefore, Vaishnava. Vaishnava means somebody who is a Vishnu devotee. Krishnaite, Krishna devotee. So they don't think about their own benefit, about their own welfare. They like to help others. And even they go to the demons. They go to the all kinds of people. Because in the beginning we don't know who is demon, who is godly by nature. But with the books we can find out. The books are like a pendulum, you know. Or like a root, you know. When if you want to find water on the ground, you know, you need two roots who vibrate. And then you know, here is water. So with the book, you just take the books, and with this book you go to the person and you immediately see when they will vibrate and the person will take the book in hand. Immediately know that's a candidate. A real demon will not touch it. He will not even look at you. He will shake you off. No interest. Go away and call police. But most of the people in general, they're not demon. They're only little influenced by demoniac propaganda. Therefore, if they touch book, they become purified. Prabhupada told, even by touching book, they become purified. By seeing devotee, become purified. By getting Krishna prasada and becoming spiritualized. Secret weapon. Prasadam distribution is secret weapon. Those who don't want to take book, then take prasadam. Oh, very nice. Oh, nice food. Oh, Hare Krishna, they have so nice food. So they become purified in this way. And Prabhupada told, by taking prasadam, what is the result? Next time they will get opportunity to take more prasadam, get more mercy, and ultimately brain become purified so that they can read books, so that they can chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And therefore that was Lord Chaitanya's universal plan, and it started on this earth planet to spread all over the world and ultimately all over the universe by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and distributing these books, Vaishnava literature, Bhagavatam. Especially Bhagavatam, it creates a revolution in the misguided heart of the materialistic civilization. gives them a proper direction. So that's our mission, what we got from superiors, and by following that, we don't have to take care about our own perfection. Perfection is given by mercy, because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsalya, is very kind, merciful to those who are surrendering unto him and who are following his eternal associates, the devotees. So Krishna becomes Bhakta Vatsalya. He's always Bhakta Vatsalya. He's maybe not now so kind to anyone so naturally. Of course, he's always nice to everyone. But specially inclined to somebody. Even you are not now not an eternal associate. If you serve the eternal associate or the Guru Parampara from Krishna, you become recognized by Krishna. Krishna will give you sympathy and bestow all blessings. So I stop here. Hare Krishna. Rantaraj Simabhagatam Ki Jai. Maybe any question or Maharaj, comment? Actually, this Bhakta Vatsalya nature of Krishna is so wonderful and so sympathetic, so attractive even for Krishna himself, that he gives up his own interest in Aishwarya and in worship, own worship, because it gives him more sweetness, more relishment, if he can play with his devotees and please his devotees. That's Krishna's nature. So he becomes dependent on them, you know. Although he can do everything himself. He's Atmarama, he's self-satisfied. He doesn't need anyone's help. He doesn't need help from others. But out of sympathy, so he accepting help as somebody who is a dependent. Dependent, yes, I need your help. A Krishna or Lord Chaitanya could spread Krishna consciousness all over the world on his own. But no, he asked his devotees to help him, to assist him, to spread it. And they also could do it. Every one of them could deliver a whole universe because they are Nitya Siddha, they are eternal Parishad, Lord's devotees. They could deliver a whole universe. But they gave also something to the next generation of devotees, to their followers. Take this process. Become guru and teach others Krishna consciousness process, how to love Krishna, how to understand Krishna. And they again leave prasad behind. So nobody is egoistic. Oh, I do everything myself. Krishna himself, he wants to give others opportunity, occupation. Therefore Prabhupada told, in Krishna consciousness movement, there is no no, I would say unemployment. It's always employment if you want to surrender to Krishna and to the devotees. You can get a mission, seva, service. Nobody can be without service. It's not possible. Everyone has to have a certain service every day. Otherwise, we are not really under the protection of Krishna's internal energy. Then we come in contact naturally with Maya. But Krishna gives his service down to the Guru Parampara, and everyone gives the service to others. And it goes on again for generation after generation. So that this Krishna consciousness movement, always somebody has to do something. It will never be empty or nothing to do anymore. So now the work is done. It's never done completely. You have to accept the prasad, mahaprasad, coming down from above and give it to others. And they relish and give it to others. That's how Krishna consciousness is spreading. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada.